I said the Kings in the building.
Coming to you live from the CBS Sports Radio 650 studio in Houston, Texas. Here are the Sports Kings, Mario, David, Chris, and Mean Gene.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another exciting edition of Sports King Saturdays. My name is Chris Demez here on CBS Sports Radio, 6:50 a.m., and I'm here with the usual suspects. Mean Gene is in the house. What's going on, Mean Gene?
What's up, Chris?
Look You're at finally this. Here
Look
live.
I am here, man. It seems like I had to get directions to get here because I haven't been here in so long.
And then we have Diamond Dave joining us back with his hardness. What's going on, Diamond Dave?
Hey, how's it going?
And then we have Super Mario. He jumped from house to house, from building to building, from brick to brick, just to be here with you guys. What's going on, Super Mario?
What's going on, guys? How y'all doing, Houston?
Mario, what does that shirt say that you're wearing right
the
now?
Losers.
Describe that to all of the listeners right now. What is that saying?
All right. It is a shirt that says 2017 Champions Houston Astros.
What champions, though?
It's the World Series champions.
World Series champions.
Yes, I wish I could go back in time and put some money on the Astros and put some money
World
in the Cubs.
World Series champions.
But guys, wait. We have a special guest today. Our producer, Sam, will be on the show with us talking about the Astros and what she likes and stuff like
what
that.
What did you do to pull those strings?
I mean, Sam's on the air right now.
Sam?
But you might like her because she's your people. Sam, tell him.
Okay. I can't hear you, Sam.
Sam, we can't hear you. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. We can't hear you, Sam.
Okay.
Abort.
Can you hear me now?
There you go, Sam.
Sam has joined the show.
I joined the show, everybody.
What's going on?
I said I'm a Steelers fan.
She's Steeler Nation.
Oh, it's on.
Oh, my goodness.
We had a bye week.
Yeah.
And you know what? We get to sit around this week and watch everybody lose, Sam.
This is amazing.
I didn't know that.
I know. You kept mentioning it, and I was like, oh, I need to tell him.
That's breaking news.
She bleeds.
Especially Christmas Day, we have a whole lot to talk about.
I'm so excited. I'm trying to get tickets.
Okay, ooh. Sam, I think we might have you. I think we're going to hook Sam
up. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
But she bleeds yellow and black just like you do.
Yep. Indeed.
She also likes to lose. But anyway, that's
no. Best record in the AFC, but that's another story. I tell you what, it's today this show is dedicated to the 2017 World Series champions, Houston Astros. I can't believe
Don't put that madness on
because guys and you guys know me and yes, I've lived in California for 25 years, rooted for the Dodgers, but also supported the Astros this entire season, as you guys know.
Are you just saying
that? We were on another network, right?
Are you just saying, Mario, am I not right?
Yes, sir.
Every night we talked about this Astros team, and we knew that if they played the ball that they played, they would, you know, receive the benefits that they got. This town has to be on fire. And you guys didn't even invite me to the parade yesterday.
Oh, man. And you know what? I went last minute, and that was the biggest mistake ever because I just thought that I can just jump on the rail and be able to be there.
No.
Oh, no, man. I had to do what I had to do to get there, and it was an adventure.
Ticker tape?
Huh?
Ticker tape parade? Oh, the whole stuff?
Yeah.
Mario, you used to these things.
I am used to these things. That's why.
Did we do it right?
No.
There was no ticker tape day parade, so
I was shocked that they put it together so quick.
That's what I'm saying. I think they didn't know how big this was going to be.
Yeah. Maybe they expected because I think it came out tapped out like, I don't know if 1 million is true, but I mean, I just don't put it past it though, because it was hectic, man. It was so many people.
It was pandemonium.
I was thinking they should have waited to next Tuesday, perhaps. Sometimes, like, when it's your first championship, I mean, normally other teams like Lakers,
Yankees,
some teams, you know, Packers, whatever. I mean, teams that know how to do these things. Not saying that Houston didn't do a good job.
Yeah, right.
But
we're out here complaining about the parade.
To plan these things so that everybody can be part of it.
No, I'm glad they got it out the way because I'm sick and tired. Traffic was a thing. I'm glad they got it out the way.
When you win a championship,
Chris, you're so selfish.
You made traffic for Chris, man.
So the whole world has to feel his wrath.
You can have your parade. You can do your whatever confetti's and move on. There's other championships to be won.
Hey,
Come on, you don't see WWE.
Do not rain on the parade, Chris.
I'm not raining on the parade. They were raining on my parade when I was at five.
You know what we want to talk about later on, though, is the shade that somebody threw at Dallas.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, what? I didn't hear about
somebody
that.
Threw some shade at the Mavericks. I mean, not the Mavericks, the Rangers. Like, hey, Ranger fans, this is how you throw a World Series parade.
That's kind of crazy. You don't have to do it because honestly, like,
I thought maybe Nolan Ryan did it. No,
I mean,
I wouldn't be surprised if it was.
I kind of feel that we always had to kind of take in the fact that we finally have this national spotlight because I've kind of felt like just growing up, period, I never thought that. You know, we'll kind of see it because even like hearing us in national news and national radio and ESPN on time, it's kind of weird for me still. Like, I still don't kind of get that just yet because we're not like Los Angeles Lakers or, you know, the Dodgers, for example.
Right.
We're not, you know, the big market team, but because of what happened during the hurricane and the fact that we all pulled together. And
what Chris says,
it's the storyline, man. It's just everything that built this up.
It is a storyline. You guys want to hear from like the listeners throughout the show today so that we can share their experience. What were you doing in game seven? Where were you when Darvish gave up those five runs?
Man, when he gave up the runs, I knew it was a wrap after that.
So the number 713-9-650-650. See, that is the number. You can call anytime during the show. Talk to Chris, me, Gene, Mario, Dave. 713-9650-650. Call anytime throughout the show, Houston. Astro fans, you want to talk, you want to scream, you cannot curse, though. Sam will cut
you. And
you
can say,
out.
You know what, wrestling, get we need more that. Wrestling on the show.
But you can talk about this experience because I know this is a first time. This is huge. This is big.
Yep, yep.
And if you Darvish, oh, my Lord.
Well, yeah, and I feel bad for the guy.
I do feel bad when you tip your pitches. When you tell everybody what you're going to be throwing. Pretty much.
It hurt a little bit. I was just like, man, dude, you just so sad.
Well, ultimately, because he thought he had the Astros numbers and he thought that the experience can really help him out. But ultimately, like, I was looking at the other way around because to me, it just meant that they had, you know, all the experience with him. I mean, and, we showed in the other game, too.
Yeah, they lit him up in the other game. Why they start you, Darvish? You give up two runs. Come on, do you not take him out?
They just really didn't want Kershaw on, though, at first.
I guarantee you this is the one question that's going to haunt Dave Roberts.
Oh, it's haunting for sure.
He just knew that he didn't want to have Kershaw out just right off the back, and he wanted to have some innings put out. But that's just not what happened. His plans just didn't happen that way.
Even like that, I'm sorry. Like, I still would have started Kershaw.
He wanted Darvish at home.
Yeah, he gave him four pitches, you know, scoreless innings. Even if he gave you four, I would have put him one, then Darvish two, if you wanted to see where it was going to go. You know?
Well, it didn't go well for the Dodgers. A team that's going to be talked about for a while. They have played great baseball over the last couple of years.
Yep.
Got to the big dance and did not get it done.
They broke a heel.
Did not get it done.
And also, they get kind of looked at a little bit differently because of how much money they've been spending as well, too, to put that team together. So when you compare, you know, the Astros towards the Dodgers, it's like, man, we kind of lucked out right there.
So Moneyball takes over again. Moneyball prevails in the end, right?
Yeah.
Now, what is this story about the Astros? Someone predicted this.
Is that the better? Is that what you're talking about? The guy who won all the bets? His name is Better X.
Talk about Better X.
And he won game 1, 2, 3, 4, and 6 in Vegas. And he's been actually getting really popular because, I mean, he came out and went in with Las Vegas and came out with over $10 million.
Wow.
Dang. And also, he didn't have recently, well, I think from the report said, he had a UFC background. He used to bet on fighting than anything. And he honestly, this was his first baseball bets, and he comes out just on top like this. So it is kind of sketchy just a little bit. I mean, when you look at it.
So maybe one day he found a lucky coin.
But there was a story a few years ago that said that the Astros would make the World Series in 2017 based on those horrible seasons where they lost 100 games. And through just that money ball, that small ball, free agents, and just slowly bringing in the right players, it paid off. It actually did. So he probably was following that story.
The Simpsons predicted it.
The Simpsons probably did predict the Astros winning this year. But I'm not taking nothing away from the Sports Illustrated writer. But is this the crazy how all of that just kind of fell in place?
It did.
I mean, he's smart, just like I've been saying the entire time. I'm just saying right now.
No, but I'm not saying just that. But like, this is the fact that all this, when you play the numbers game, it works on both sides. Mm-hmm. So let's say if he does have a 30 or 40% chance of doing something, you still have to worry about that 60 and 50. But for all these pieces that fit together and this all fall in line, like, what are the chances of that? That's even the bigger odds.
So he doesn't have a fix. He's just a person. He's just a person.
What are you talking about?
The better X.
Oh, yeah. No, he's a person. He's definitely a person. But this is like his alias that he goes down.
Find out what he thinks about the NFL coming up here, because we'd like to get in on some of the action.
For real.
I mean, if he's that doggone good.
And that's, I don't think he's bet on the NFL. I don't think he's bet on the NFL. So that would be pretty interesting if he was to. No. UFC, just strictly fighting.
Okay.
And then this is his first baseball bet.
Okay. All right. I got you.
He just walked away with $10 million.
Just walked away.
Wow. What an amazing.
I want to know how, like, they don't give you that cash. Like, how does that work? Do they, like, direct deposit it to you?
I'm not sure if he's even picked it up yet.
Bitcoin.
Yeah. $10 million in Bitcoins.
Bitcoin is apparently at an all high.
Yeah, it is.
Ain't that kind of weird? Like, yeah, that something is kind of, you know, overtaking that a little bit? Because whenever I first heard of Bitcoin, that kind of scared me just a little bit. Because I didn't understand it.
I didn't hear Bitcoin until, like, the internet was like, Bitcoin. I'm like, what's Bitcoin? And then I heard about it.
So, Mario, now are you – have the Astros, is that your favorite team?
Well, yeah, because they won.
Is it
your second favorite team?
This is how I'm going to explain it.
Okay.
All right. I will forever love the Yankees. I love the Yankees, but I'm in love with the Astros. It's a difference. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sorry, as I was.
So
I love the Astros, mm-hmm. but I'm not in love with the Astros. I'm in love with the Yankees.
Is Astros your side piece?
In marital terms,
this sounds he like left you're, home. You're cheating on the Yankees.
Basically.
I love you, but I'm not in love with you. That makes any sense.
You're cheating on the Yankees.
I'm cheating on the Yankees a little bit.
All right, I get it.
You know, I've been here 7 years. It's not like, you know, I just got on the bandwagon. I've been here 7 years. I've been here when they were really, really bad. You know what I mean? I remember coming to my first Astros game, and I said this 1,000 times. They lost like 16-1.
Oh.
16-1. I was still cheering at the top of the ninth inning that the usher told me, hey, man. Just give it up.
Mario, how bad would it have to be for you to be a Red Sox fan?
I ain't never going to be that bad.
Oh, no.
It would not be that bad.
That's those fighting words.
Yeah, like, you don't understand. Like, yeah. If they were there.
It's just like a Dodger fan being a Giant fan.
It would never happen on God's green earth that I will ever be a Sox fan.
Do you dig Alex Rodriguez do the commentator with David Ortiz?
I don't consider Alex Rodriguez a Yankee anyway.
Oh, okay.
So it doesn't really matter to me.
He creeps me out.
He's weird.
Right? Yeah. Like him with J-Lo and stuff like that. I don't really dig all that.
Before we go to break, let's talk about that proposal at the Astros game. That was a big rock.
Wait a minute. Okay. Wait. Save that proposal for a minute, because I want to get – you just brought up something. Fox Sports coverage of this, post-game coverage. I thought those guys fit in good. I thought
– everyone's good.
I really did. I like
they, they all bring a little something to
they
the
all
table.
Something. Yeah, Frank Thomas.
I like Big Hurt. I really dig him as a commentator. Coverage.
Yeah, I thought it was.
And I like the way, like, Ortiz is this one verb away from, like, you know, just cutting it into full Spanish. Yeah. Like, you can tell he really wants to let it out.
Yeah, you can tell. I mean, no, I really thought they did a good job, even though I know Alex is going to get his haters. But nevertheless.
He's terrible.
So.
Well, big things are discussed here on the Sports Kings show.
Big things.
CBS Sports Radio, 6:50 a.m. We are the Sports Kings. We'll be back after these messages. Sports Radio, 6:50 a.m., Houston, Texas. You guys are tuned into the Sports Kings Saturday Show here on CBS. My name is Chris Domenez. I'm joined by the Sports Kings, Mean Gene, Diamond Dave, and Super Mario, and also Seductive Sam. I like to call you Seductive Sam.
Yeah, that's okay.
That's a new one.
That's okay. But you guys are joining the Sports Kings. Thank you so much for tuning in. Gene, what's been going on this past week?
Hey, man, it's all about that. Did you hear that beat coming in? That's when you don't mean Gene is here. When the old school stuff is bumping.
That's called
busting loose.
It sounds like a retirement home here. But Mario.
That's old school. That was a good melody. Mellow jam. Mario.
Yo.
I know college football is happening, man. What, talk to us.
All right, let's see what's going on at this point in time, sports fans. At halftime, we got Penn State tied with Michigan 14-14.
Oh, wow.
Also at the house, South Carolina's down behind them, Georgia Bulldogs 7-14. 27 seconds left in the second. Wake Forest is still down to Notre Dame 24-10. They might walk away with it. Clemson is down right now to NC State at the half, 21-17. Ohio State just took the lead in the second with 34 seconds left, 24-17. Iowa also going on right now. The halftime is Iowa State at West Virginia. Iowa State down to West Virginia 20-3. Also at the half, Stanford down to Washington State 14-7. What's going on there, Stanford?
Oh, man, that score.
Now, the game everyone was interested about. Second quarter, 14 minutes. Oklahoma ahead of Oklahoma State, 21-10.
Oklahoma. Mm.
Oh, wow. That's even a good one, too. Hey, but that Clemson and North Carolina State game right there, that's big playoff implications for Clemson. Because, honestly, the winner of that game pretty much gets a – I would say tie up a spot to go to the ACC Conference Championship.
Gives them a bit, though.
So, man, we really got to look close to that. Because if Clemson comes out short on this one and they just got – and to me, I was just like, man, y'all just not going to respect that Syracuse win that they got over them.
Syracuse.
So, I don't know. We'll see what happens. Because that playoff ranking, too, I didn't have too much problem with it. But the whole Georgia thing being number one kind of –
it's a setup, though.
Kind of got me.
You don't like Georgia number one?
The only reason why is because,
schedule.
The one thing I do give them is that they beat a Notre Dame team by one.
By one.
I give them that.
That's a good defense.
They don't have the SEC. They're not playing.
That's what I'm saying.
Right. They're not playing an SEC schedule like Alabama's playing.
Right, okay. But Alabama's playing this year. The SEC is weak.
I'll say the West is way better than the East.
Alabama's been playing a lot of the worst ones.
Yeah.
Was there any reason why you left the Rice score off because you knew Rice was getting the brakes beat off of him 49-14?
Oh, well, that's right.
That's why you left.
I didn't even see it.
49-14 UAB is beating the brakes off of Rice.
We don't like exposing everybody, Gene.
I tell you what. Sorry. I still want to hear what Houstonians think about this first time ever World Series. Tell us where you were, what you were doing.
Where were you?
The Houston Astros won their first World Series that night. 713-9650-650. 713-9650-650. Tell us. Tell Mario. Me, G.
Tell us.
Oh, we want to hear.
Or tell us how you escaped downtown afterwards.
So what are you still doing? Because this is a week-long celebration, right?
Yep.
Yeah, this thing's going to last forever.
After this weekend, I won't remember because I'll be getting drunk.
I wonder how long it's really going to take us to set in that this actually happened and how long it's going to take some of us to kind of, like, throw it in people's faces.
After this weekend.
I don't think we're there yet, but I feel that's going to eventually
happen.
Rub it
in, man. You rub it in. When you win a championship, especially the way these guys did it, you rub it in. You rub it in. This is what, Houston's first championship ever, right?
Yeah, first World Series.
So,
yeah.
I mean, no, first in anything. Well, not take the
no, no, NBA. NBA, yeah.
So 20 years ago, we won a basketball championship.
Is a championship city, because some cities don't ever get to experience this.
That's what I'm saying. A lot of people don't understand. Like, you know, it's rare to be in a city where you have multiple teams that have championships.
So now you can say you're a city of champions because you got two.
Exactly.
Right.
We already were the city of champions. We won 20 years ago, the basketball.
Clutch City. But until then, there has been nothing.
And it kind of hurts a little bit whenever is that so much time that's passed until you have received
some rough years in between. You know what I hate about people to also say about the championship, like both the NBA for the Rockets, it's like, you only won that championship because Jordan retired.
I mean, the one thing that I like to talk about.
He came back in between the last season, which really people don't really give him the benefit of the doubt just because he came right off of it.
I'd say woulda, shoulda, coulda.
Yeah.
So
I mean, Nick Anderson wasn't supposed to miss 4 free throws either.
I have a question for our special guest, Sam. Sam, what would you do if somebody came up to you and proposed to you like the guy did on the baseball and had a ring that big? Would you faint? Would you faint like that?
Probably.
Did you see the ring?
I saw. I didn't see a zoom in. Did they have a zoom in of the ring?
I'm not sure.
You didn't need a zoom in.
You didn't need it.
I just saw her like push people away and like get in there, and then people behind there was like, "Oh my god!"
She went through the
so
barricade.
Many Snapchats.
She went through the barricade.
She did. Okay, that's what I thought. She went through the barricade. I was like, she was like,
I don't think she's supposed to do that.
Stay far from me.
Out of my way! Hey, come on, man.
When you're the 2016 Miss Texas, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, that is very true.
That was pretty good, though. I like
2016. What was it?
She is the 2016 Miss Texas.
Oh, my.
Wow.
Yes. So it's not just any girl. So who? He is dating former Miss Texas. Well, now engaged to former Miss Texas.
Good choice.
Miss Texas. That's what I was saying.
Good job.
I need to see a picture.
Good job.
Yeah, that's a good job.
I thought that was pretty classic, man. He knew the big stage he was on, they would never
forget. So what would happen if they didn't win?
Like, you know, there was no plan B. So to say that he didn't have a plan B.
Like, hey, babe, we didn't win, but we can still win.
And she probably would have said no. No, I'm just kidding.
She would have said yes.
Yeah, she definitely said, she said yes.
If she saw that rock, she would have said yes.
I ain't saying yes.
I ain't saying she didn't go,
Digga. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Let's see what your extension is going to look like first, because we need to know what kind of money we're going to be looking at here.
Oh, he's going to get
did
money.
Did he get an extension?
We want prenup.
Everybody gets.
Just saying.
All right. But it's definitely going to come when, you know, they're going to get a bonus, you know, from winning and stuff like that.
Wow.
But I'm so happy for him. I'm happy that he did
great
that.
Stuff.
It was really cool. It was really cute. You know, and the cool thing about it is I was reading an article about it, how Carrera is so old school that, you know, he went to her parents and asked permission and, you know what I mean? And he actually went to AJ Hinch and he went to coach and, hey, coach, I want to propose to the girl. You know, and then AJ was like, oh, my goodness, you know, you think I have pressure now? Now I feel even more because now, if we don't win this game, you're not going to get married. So, you know, it's so cute. You know, it really does add to the Cinderella aspect.
Yeah, it really does add to the storyline. Yeah.
to this team, you know, and the kind of way it was.
I remember, my last marriage, I went to my wife's parents and they said, good Lord, I'm so glad you came to us because we was about to come to you. Take her.
That's never a good sign. That's never a good
sign. Take her now.
What was really impressive was Chevy giving that truck to Springer because that was a beautiful truck.
It was a nice truck.
He could buy four of those trucks.
But still, a free truck is the best kind of truck, Mario, especially a 2017 Silverado.
Chevy. The one that you don't have to pay for is the best truck.
I'm pretty sure they say, if it's free, give me three.
You know what else they say? When you're driving in your Chevy and you feel something heavy.
Let's talk about the little guy that no one is talking about that really made the whole season. He's my favorite Astro. And I'm talking about number 27. You know what I'm talking about. That guy right there.
Did he get named the MVP?
Yes. No, he was the batting champion MVP.
He should have been.
He was the AL batting champ.
This guy made so many things happen throughout the season.
Yeah, man.
You look at all the things that he did and the games that they won because of what he did. You wonder if they even would have gotten as far as they did without him.
Oh, yeah, because he's Mr. Reliable on both sides of the field.
Both sides of the field.
Yes.
I mean, because he's definitely even one of those guys. Even when we're going through our slumps, which everyone goes through, and we face it a lot, especially in the playoffs, but he's solely one of the only ones. Sometimes if we have only two hits, best believe he's going to have one of those.
Yep.
Just amazing stuff. Amazing.
He's just, he's like a motor. He doesn't stop. You know, he doesn't let anything get to him. He keeps swinging. You know, he doesn't change anything up. And if he does, he makes the necessary adjustments when he has to.
He's in the big leagues, and he's swinging for the fence.
He does. And like you say, he's a two-way player. Not only is he a great offensive player, he's a great defensive player. You know, and that's one of the things that also helped this Astros team was that defense, man. From all the way around the horn, from third to first, that play, it's a vacuum. Anything that gets in, there's just a vacuum, man. Carrera covers so much ground. Bregman covers so much ground. You know, Altuve covers so much. And then, you got Yuri on first that just does a good job, too. That defense was amazing.
So let me tell you what I noticed, because I have actually had the opportunity to see a team clinch a championship on another team's home field.
Yeah.
I saw the Yankees when they clinched game four of the World Series against the Padres. But if you notice, Dodger fans didn't want to leave because you still was watching something that you've never seen.
Never happened.
I mean, it's not the fanfare that would have been if it was at Minute Maid, of course. But still, it went down. And there was a lot of Astro fans there, but there was a lot of Dodger fans who just said, you know what, the best team won. We just didn't have our best stuff that night. And they kind of hung around.
No.
They just didn't leave the stadium.
But honestly, like, I never felt like, really content with that lead, though, ever. Like, even in the eighth inning, like, whenever we were still winning, I was still looking for a comeback, though, still in the late inning.
No, I think.
No, honestly, it's because of how the series was going, though.
I didn't want to commit to it just yet. Those runs, that was it. I think the Dodgers were demoralized at that point. They know in a game seven, everything's on the line. Five runs is hard to come by when it's all on the line.
It wasn't
going to be none of that back and forth.
From how the World Series has been going the whole time, I didn't want to put it behind me just yet.
No, I knew it was
because I wasn't so sure just yet. Yeah. I mean, but honestly, I definitely like the way they trusted Morton the way they did. I was kind of upset a little bit when they pulled McCullers at first, just because I understand that he did, you know, hit some couple guys. Hit Turner like twice, I believe. But still, like, I was just like, man, just let him finish. Just don't let him just go out like that.
Well, we want to hear the listeners' opinions. Gene, what's that number again?
713-9650-650. 713-9650-650.
You can call us with your opinions. Talk to us. Talk to me, Dave, Gene, Super Mario, or Diamond Dave. We'll be back after these messages. CBS Sports Radio 650 Houston. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, CBS Sports Radio, 650 AM Houston. You are listening to the Sports King Saturday Show with me, Chris, Diamond Dave, Mean Gene, and Super Mario. And we have our beautiful guest, Miss Seductive Sam. What's going on, guys and ladies?
Ladies. Seductive Sam.
Wow.
It sounds like a title to like one of those like novellas.
It is a novella. Yeah, it sounds like a novella.
Yeah.
You're right.
Normally I get Slammin' Sam.
Slammin' Sam.
Slammin' Sam.
Yeah. Okay.
I will not eat your green like eggs and ham, Sam.
Like, that sounds like a meal at Denny's.
The slam is in.
So, Mario, what scores do we got?
All right, still at the half. We got Penn State tied with Michigan State.
They're going to lose.
14. The start of the third quarter. South Carolina Gamecocks still behind them. Bulldogs 7-14. You still have Wake Forest and Notre Dame. Notre Dame running away with this one at the half, 31-10. Clemson and NC State. Clemson still trailing NC State, Dave. What they're going to do? 21-17. And at this time, you got Oklahoma and Oklahoma State.
In the bedlam.
Oklahoma's leading 28-17.
Go Sooners.
Ooh.
But
that's always a good game, man.
It is.
Always.
That's in-state rivalries. Boomer in-state Sooner. Rivalries are always.
Yes.
Are always
but there's going to be a good game later on today. What about that?
Dave? Yeah, definitely. I mean, and you know what? We've been kind of lucky
to get
those two and 3 o'clock games, you know, during whenever we're going on air, you know, we get these really, you know, real good games. But, yo, at 7 o'clock, I ain't going to lie, we got two games because, of course, I'm a LSU fan. So we got the LSU and Bama game tonight. Right. So regardless of, you know, it's kind of, you know, being one-sided a little bit, you know, we still got some hope out there, though. I kind of like LSU's chances. This is because I think it's going to be a closer game for a longer amount of time.
I mean, keeping with the times, are you ready for the football? Let's talk about some Texans. What do we have, Dave and Mean Gene? Texans talk.
Well, I tell you what. I have to be the first one to say that when I heard the news of what happened to Deshaun Watson, I was devastated.
It's horrible.
As with all Texans, because here's a guy that was on his way to break all sorts of rookie records. And no doubt he was probably going to be the rookie of the year.
Oh,
he's hands on down.
That's a good movie.
And now the Houston Texans have found themselves in a pickle here and having to go and get Matt McGloin and T.J. Yates, names that we didn't think we would ever hear again in this city of Houston.
Where was T.J. Yates? Like, where did they find him?
He
was at home watching his tights.
He was an okay quarterback at North Carolina, right, but he also had Hicks that he was throwing to, right, so that was a big reason why. He was here, and I guess the reasoning that both of them, the reason why McGloin and T.J. Yates come is because of their relationship, not just with the Texans, but with Bill O'Brien.
Of course,
McGloin was, you know, at Penn State whenever O'Brien took over, so you have that there. But to me, honestly, I don't think none of these affiliations really kind of help the team whatsoever.
Not at all.
We see what Deshaun's running and seeing what's working for us right now, because it kind of gives less press on the offensive line and, of course, gives our dangerous wide receivers enough, you know, space to do a lot more stuff creatively.
Yeah.
But now it looks like, you know, we're going to have to dumb it down a little bit. Of course, with Savage, we all kind of find out that, you know, didn't happen the way it was supposed to.
Work.
Yeah, well, so, I mean, we're kind of going back to phase one a little bit now.
Pretty much. And how do you feel if you're Tom Savage? You're like, okay, wow. So not only do you go and get McGloin, but you even bring Yates back, so you really don't have that much confidence in me? Have we gotten that far away? I did start the damn season after all. So, but you have to bring two quarterbacks in.
Oh, yeah, you have to.
Because you don't have that much confidence
in mean, and especially we only had two quarterbacks on the roster at the time. So, that was a way to look at it, too, as well. But also, we just got to really prepare for the worst now, just in case. I mean, it's damage control, honestly.
It is, but it ain't really that bad, guys. If you look at the AFC South standings right now, Titans somehow have creeped up to number one. Jaguars and Titans are tied. I mean, the Texans are only one game out of first place, basically, in the AFC South. And I know I think they can manufacture a couple of wins together and get things done and still be competitive. I mean, only one team is going to win this division. There will be no wild card from this division.
No. Definitely not.
So that's why the Colts, you can pretty much cancel Christmas for them. I think the Texans still have to play competitive football. And with these three quarterbacks, it might take all three of them to pull out an AFC title.
Yeah.
Also, Gene, but we also got to look at the other side of the field, and I feel kind of lacking confidence in that area, too, as well. I mean, we're having guys kind of go down, too. I mean, Heath, Cole, and Covington. I think Covington is a season-ending injury. He's going into surgery, so we had to put a lot of stress on the guys that we do have because we already took in hits, you know, a lot. And also from the trade, Lane ends up filling his physical, so he doesn't come from the Seahawks. So that kind of puts our secondary in another tight spot a little bit because we got to rely on the people that we have. And also, I believe Jonathan Joseph is questionable. So that is a lot of stress on our defense as well because the offense is not helping them out whatsoever. They're not getting the help that they did get.
But, hey, Mario, don't be surprised if you see Yates probably at the helm in the end. He is the only quarterback of these three. He led the Texans to a win over those Cincinnati Bengals.
I was just about to bring that up.
And the Texans' first playoff.
So you know we can win with him. You know you can win. The boy can win.
So he can. I mean, that was a big win.
He shows that he's definitely, he can maybe have the capability of doing it, but still, like, I definitely don't like yearning on the past. And that was just ultimately a better defense as well. Right, and a Bengals team that was the beginning of their great demise because you look at that Bengals team right now, and it's basically the same team.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. But I want to talk about what me and you talked about off the air. We had a conversation last night.
Oh, yeah, we were screaming at each other for no reason.
The Colin Kaepernick. Colin Kaepernick. We talked about here's a quarterback that was out there. Here's a quarterback that has led a team to a Super Bowl. He's out there. Never mind that he's got a collusion lawsuit going against the NFL. And a couple of owners, including Houston Texans owner Bob McNair, is one of those owners whose emails and phone text messages and everything have been deposed because Kaepernick is trying to prove that he has been colluded against, blackballed against. So anyway, having said that, this is still a quarterback that is better than any of the three that we just mentioned, yet he's without 100%. A job and he's getting old. He turned 30 years old. Yesterday or the day before.
You know, talking about this, I read I don't mean to cut you off, Gene.
I read a really good,
interesting article how, you know, Bob McNair said all these things about the team and stuff like that and what was going on over here in the team. And it was like, you know, one of his biggest salvations he can do is pick up Colin Kaepernick.
That would have been, that's what we talked about last night.
But you kind of realize that definitely has, like, a snowball's chance in hell of happening. But the reason why I say that is because of all the adding factors that added to this. Because maybe, just maybe, if the stuff, what he said, never came out the way it did, and he was able to maybe get himself away from that. Because think about it. Like, think about the owners and the fights they're having with Roger Goodell right now, and they don't want him to really be commissioner anymore, so they're trying to ease him out just a little bit. Now this situation comes up, and he's taken the side of the players, and it's shown that already. And then you kind of have the owners maybe trying to flex their muscle just a little bit. They don't really like that, you know. And ultimately, if he has a job, it relies on them. So it's a whole different other way to look at it. But if McNair never said the things he had to say, and of course never had a reasoning. So, let's, for example, let's say, you know, they take his emails and his text messages and they find nothing at all.
Okay,
and they find anything. So what would have been the harm of taking Kaepernick? Like, I totally understand, you know, the perception of the problem of signing him last year is because everyone was kind of putting their own two cents into what he was doing, regardless of maybe they knew what the message was. Now is a whole new year. We still have the same, you know, stuff that's still going on around. But he's already came out and said that he wouldn't mind playing, that he wouldn't be doing that anymore. So if he's willing to compromise
or
and
use
able to
him to make the change, I mean, and I mean, I know I don't think he would. I think he knows what it would mean if he got to a team and having to address that whole thing. People are talking about it now. That's what he wanted people to do back then. So, but I'm just looking at the fact that it's a quarterback. It's a quarterback who is good. It's a quarterback that led a team to a Super Bowl, and it's a quarterback that some teams really need.
And think about the market of quarterbacks too, Gene. Like, mm-hmm. think about how the market for quarterbacks changed in the last past 4 or 5 years. And the way we look at quarterbacks now is definitely overanalyzed. And we have to look in all these. We have to, you know, look behind the web sometime for a quarterback just to try to find somebody. Like, those names, whenever they came out, I wasn't too surprised. Like I said, like, the Texans know these guys. But still, it didn't really.
Do you think Brett Favre will come out of retirement?
Oh, definitely not. He's chilling.
I hope he does. That's my man.
That's her man.
Yes.
Favre.
That's, well, you know, that's my man.
Favre. Now, I think
I kind of feel like he'll have a chance, though. Why wouldn't he, though, if he really was
riding,
to? But
there's no way. He's too old.
He's riding that track in Mississippi and throwing the ball to those high school
Well,
players.
In wrestling, you know, you can be whatever.
Wearing his Wranglers.
I'm worried about them Wrangler jeans.
Wearing those Wrangler jeans. Amazing. So, I know, looking at the Texans, I mean, what? The big game coming up here.
Oh, the Colts?
The Colts. Tomorrow. Well, that's not a big game.
Yeah,
they
guess
need to win, though.
They do need to win because they need some confidence going into the game. Yes, they do.
There's some separation there between, you know, that team right there. I think they win tomorrow. I think they get it done. I know the game is here at NRG Stadium.
It's going to be an interesting game because I feel that they're going to try to figure out ways to win because ultimately – they got to be so happy that they are playing the Colts of all teams right now. Just
at
because,
this point in time, correct.
Yeah, it's because their defense is also dysfunctional right now, and they had to kind of break out some old stuff, you know, for the offense because they're definitely not going to be running this quarter, you know, the shotgun set this whole time. So it's going to be interesting to look at, but I believe they win too as well. But this is going to be a team figuring things out, though, during the time.
And it's next week I'm worried about. They got to get this week because next week will not be a piece of cake against the – Los Angeles Rams.
Oh, definitely not. And that's funny, too. If you to tell us last year, you know, what we thought about the Rams, it'll be a completely different conversation from last year to this year.
I have faith in my Giants.
The 5-2 Rams, by the way.
I have faith in my Giants. I got faith. I believe in you, boys. I believe in you.
Yo, 2-6.
What's up?
It's good to see you, man. I haven't seen you in a while. And you guys...
Yeah, no, it's great. It's we missed you here in the station.
Sam, have these guys been on their good behavior here while I've been away?
Yeah, they have been, surprisingly.
I was shocked.
Did make fun of me during commercial breaks.
Oh,
yeah.
That's about the worst, though.
I mean,
that's about the worst, he said.
Whoa.
Yeah, teaming up on me. So
mean. We have to talk, Sam.
And we do that, and also we've been talking about movies a lot more, also bringing in anime. So we've been doing things that we usually don't do all the time.
Goodness. Yeah, don't do that. here's Sports King.
Anime.
Sports King Saturday Show, 6:50 a.m. Sports King Saturday. 6:50 a.m. CBS Radio, Houston. My name is Chris, Gene, Diamond Dave, Mario, and Seductive Sam. We'll be back after these messages.
The second time's a charm.
CBS Sports Radio, 6:50 Houston, Texas. You are listening to the Sports King Saturday Show here with Chris, Mean Gene, Diamond Dave, Super Mario, and Sneaky Snake Sam. Sneaky Snake.
Sneaky Snake.
She'll only talk. She'll slither in there whenever she wants to. But
word up, then.
Word up.
Word up.
But yeah, you're listening to the Sports King Saturdays here at 6:50 a.m. Call us. Gene, what is that number?
713-9650-650. I think we got some people that are so excited they're afraid to talk to the Sports Kings. We won't bite you guys. We know. Unless you're still hanging over from that World Series victory last week. The Houston Astros defeat the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Yes, we know this. We know this.
Championship of baseball.
It's been everywhere.
Yes.
It's been beat to death.
We want to celebrate with you here on the air. 713-9650-650. 6:50, 713-9650.
Okay, I have a question. Since y'all been Astro fans longer than me.
Huh?
What's the Astros fight song?
Here we go, cows. Here we go.
like a rally cry.
Yeah, like do they have one? Like I don't even know.
I mean, when you go to games, like you hear like the occasional like music, but I wouldn't say we have an actual.
Don't.
But that's
don't,
like you know, generic.
Yeah, we don't,
like,
yeah, that's we generic, don't have
that's every
don't.
Team.
So
that's every team.
So what you're saying is that in the Yankees have some type of rally cry, yes. War song, yeah, or something like that. What is it?
Oh, I know what it is. Yankees suck.
Oh, that's,
you just walk yourself into. Has a good 80s.
I don't really know if that's it, but it said Astros.
Did Conway Twitty make this song? Conway Twitty definitely made this song.
It sounds about right. It sounds about right.
sounds good. I feel like drinking some Bud Light.
Deep in the heart. Yeah.
Pow, pow, pow. That's all I hear right now in my head.
Wow.
But that's the rally cry or what?
That's pretty good.
Sam, what was that? What did you type in for that?
literally, it says "Go Go Astros" song.
Do you know what she typed in?
I didn't type that in. Oh, it says "1980s Houston Astros" theme
sounds
song.
Like it.
Wow!
Do you guys know the name of the Astros before the Astros?
They even have it in Spanish as well.
Oh, the Spanish version.
Why, you should have played.
Can we hear that one?
You want that one?
Yeah, we want to hear that one. Let's hear that one. Let's sing along, everybody who speaks Spanish. So I would be
no puedo.
Like I don't understand
why is this
we
song
can just
not played in.
It just a little bit. That song can go places. That might be the number one jam on the top 20 charts.
And every taqueria in Houston, they should be playing this.
Yeah, that's
every street
what I'm
taqueria
saying.
Should be playing this right now. I agree. I agree.
Mario.
Yes, sir.
Something changed with that Georgia game, right?
Apparently so.
Well, actually, the game changed because they're not on anymore.
But right. No, the score hasn't changed yet. At this point in time, it is still 21-7. Georgia.
That's so, we NFL, couple of games going on tomorrow, week 9 of the season, guys. Do you know that this season, don't blink because it's going to be over before you know it. And for people who don't know the Sports Kings that well, we're going to be in Las Vegas, guys, hosting a Super Bowl party.
Vegas, baby, yeah.
At our favorite place. I can't believe I'm sitting up here drawing a blank.
That's our favorite place.
Shout out to our favorite place.
We will be in Las Vegas.
That place knows who it is. Who
the place knows where we're going to be. But no, we we always have a good time.
You seriously
time.
Blanked on the place.
I am. I'm really blank on the place. And we go there, like, not every year.
Sam, can you look at it for us? Can you see where we're going?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
The address is 333
Diamond.
Diamond. Yeah.
Diamond Day. We're going to go Diamond Day.
In Las Vegas.
We're doing okay. It in the Casa del Diamond.
Casa de Diamond. I like that. That's a nice ring.
It's called the Silverton Casino.
The Silverton Casino. So remind me to take my home mortgage.
Still thinking Astros here, guys. I'm sorry.
Remind me.
I apologize to the Silverton Casino.
Put that on a post-it note.
Remind me to take my home mortgage and bet it on the table.
We will be there.
Oh, you know what? Let me go talk to Better X.
In February.
Better X, what should I do? Better X, talk to me.
Yeah, Better X, we'll meet you there.
Call the show.
Casino. We did a show there a couple of years ago. 1,000 people showed up.
Ooh.
All right, that picture is on our Facebook page too, by the way. So that's where we're gonna be. We don't know, and the reason why I'm saying that because I don't know who's gonna be in the Super Bowl.
For the thousands of attendance.
The Pittsburgh Steelers will be there.
Steelers.
I guess.
Nah.
Yes.
Steelers.
Steelers
I'll
and whoever
for you,
from
Steelers.
The NFC will be there. Sam, that is like the best news I've heard all week, other than, you know, with the big news here with the Astros.
Sam Brennan Hyde.
No, you were a Steelers fan.
Yes.
How about that?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yes. He likes to lose.
Christmas Day.
No,
Christmas
he was doing
Day,
real good.
Me and Sam will be, you know, just sort of different.
Okay,
we will support the Texans up until Christmas Day, right?
Deal.
That's what I'm saying. Deal.
What I want to know is how did you become a Steelers fan? Because you're a native Texan, correct?
No.
No, I'm not.
Oh, I did not know that. See, this is looking good.
Same here.
She's from Pennsylvania.
Right. Yeah,
how am I supposed to know these things?
How am I supposed
to know these things? I don't have a push to talk button.
She wears like
she has
like Penn State shirts and stuff like that. She like reps Pennsylvania all the time.
But that is true. He doesn't have a push to talk.
Your button don't work, and that's by design, Mario.
That's okay.
Where's your detective skills, Batman?
Pennsylvania.
Harrisburg, so it's very centrally located.
Yeah, I know where it is. I lived in Reading.
Have you ever been to Scranton? Because I'm a big office fan.
You were in Reading?
I lived in Reading for a year and a half. My brother lives in Allentown, and my other cousin lives in New York.
That's where my fiance's from, Allentown.
Are you serious?
Allentown.
Yeah. So, Allentown Mall.
Steamtown Mall.
Allentown.
Yes, I like
that. Oh, wait, no, that's
Allentown, Pennsylvania.
Right outside Philadelphia.
Right outside Philadelphia, and actually right by O'Malley.
That's speaking right by Allegheny University. You know what? It could be the Steelers and the Philadelphia Eagles in the Super Bowl.
That would be nuts. I'd love to see that, actually. The
Eagles are on a six-game win streak,
They're the class of the division.
Beating everyone. And someone asked me, how is it that the Eagles are winning so fast?
Life in the fast lane.
Look at their assistant coaches. They are fired head coaches.
Yes, they are.
No, a couple of the assistant coaches for the Eagles are recently fired head coaches.
Yes, sir. You
have the best of the best.
It's like an all-star coach
team.
Right,
you got an all-star coaching staff there, and these guys are playing some great football.
It's like when Team USA had Greg Popp and Mike Kaczynski on the same team. That was wrong. You can't have them two be coaches together.
Yeah, I know. And hats off, the Cowboys have yet to play them, so that's going to be interesting to see what happens there.
But we can see the Battle of Pennsylvania. Oh, yeah.
And I'm not talking about a war from 18 something other. This is the Battle of Pennsylvania Steelers and Eagles. But anyway, let's talk about Week 9 action. You got the Falcons and the Panthers, okay? Both of these guys coming off wins.
What's up with them Falcons, man?
Falcons don't look like it's that Super Bowl jinx.
Nah.
You know
what happened?
It's that post Super Bowl jinx. They don't look like they wanted it.
You guys and your terminology.
They're garbage, bro.
So you got the Bengals and the Jaguars. The Bengals are not really looking all that good. But Leonard Fournette, I also have him starting as my running back.
He's amazing.
You know what? We definitely would have not been talking about the Jaguars the way we do in the past couple of years. But to see them kind of change and now to see their offense come alive. And you know what? I think Fournette has a little to do with it because, man, he really gets down down there. Because, I mean, his offensive line is getting better.
And we saw it coming. It's not like the Cleveland Browns who pick a first-round pick every year and you know, does not get better.
Yeah.
The Jaguars have been getting better and better and better.
That's a good guard.
And now that Tom Coughlin is down there to oversee the whole operation, watch out, Texans. You don't want the Jaguars to win this division. Because they're going to be good for a while.
Oh, that defense is built stout right now.
You already know what Tom Coughlin's about. Right. Tom Coughlin is a hard-nosed defensive coach.
Indeed. Saints and Buccaneers, guys, this is going to be a good one. The Buccaneers are on a four-game losing streak. I did not see this coming at all. I know they didn't start the season with Doug Martin.
You want to hear an interesting little tidbit about these Saints?
Tell me about it.
Last time these Saints went 6-0 after getting a defeat, they won the Super Bowl.
The Saints?
Yes, sir.
The Saints? This is the last time they went on a six-game win streak. Where is this coming from?
The last time they did that was the year they won the Super Bowl.
I will say two teams will make the playoffs. The Saints will probably win the division, but I do think the Falcons will get it together and be a wild card. There will be a wild card out of this division, though.
The Texans? No, that's another conference.
Wrong division.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Now, next game, Ravens and Titans, AFC South. So we want the Ravens to win.
You want the Ravens to win, to put the loss against the Texans.
But if you're Steelers fans, you want the Titans
to beat
the Ravens.
Right, but you want the Titans to win, correct.
Okay, but the Ravens are not really doing that great. And I think Joe Flacco, we all saw what happened to him a couple of weeks ago with Alonzo Kiko giving him that facial.
That was hilarious.
Yeah. But you know what? They're kind of changing up because sometimes you kind of like – get on the defensive side just a little bit, just because, like, I mean, when they're trying to make a play, they're trying to make a play, and that's what they've been taught the whole time. So I don't think it's never intent to be that way. But of course, when Ndamukong Suh is, you know, pounding your face in, that's a whole different story.
Came to the rescue. I like to see that when the guys stick up for their quarterback or for their team. Anyway, so I think what's going to happen tomorrow in this Ravens Titans game is you're going to see a whole lot of Derrick Henry and DeMarco Murray and Marcus Mariota. I think they're going to take care of business. The game we were just talking about during the break, the Dallas Cowboys at home to the Kansas City Chiefs. Ezekiel Elliott will use every court in the nation to play the rest of the season. Now, you guys know I live in Dallas, which I will be moving to Houston in a couple of weeks.
Yay!
But anyway, in Dallas, I mean, like, if Tom Brady had to serve his four-game Who the hell does Ezekiel Elliott think he is? He will eventually serve these games for what he did.
I think it's just about this season. At this point, it's just about winning now. It's just about like them trying to have one up on everybody. And like the fact that Jerry Jones is going along with this, like I'm just so stressed out just from this already. Like,
I don't care.
When are we going to stop? Yeah, when are they going to stop caring though?
I don't.
But anyway, I'm a little bittersweet about this game because I hate the Cowboys, but. And I was told not to really say that on the air, but all in front
of me. You're going to get calls right now.
In a competitive way. Okay, I hate the Cowboys. But I really need them to beat the Chiefs because the Chiefs will get in the Steelers' way when it gets down to the end. So I really need Dallas to beat the Chiefs tomorrow. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. I don't care.
You see what I'm saying? I'm not rooting for Dallas.
I got no love for Dallas. I don't care. I don't care whether they win or lose.
Yeah, they can't drive.
Okay.
They can't drive in Dallas.
They can't drive in Dallas.
They say the same thing about Houston.
Nah, whenever we went there for the big three, well,
the
they can't drive.
Between Dallas and Houston, Houston actually have the name of the highway on the street. Dallas, you have to figure it out.
And in Dallas, if Dallas, if you cut someone off, they put a gun in your head.
Okay. Is it break time?
Not yet.
Oh, we got one. We got some seconds.
Okay. All right, I get one more in there. The Raiders and the Dolphins. This used to be a hell of a game back in the day. But I know this is
back in Dan Marino.
You said this is a good time to go to sleep.
Yeah, definitely.
Is this a sleep bowl tomorrow?
is this not the exciting game that we expected it to be because of the names of it, of course. And
this
after
used
the Dolphins,
to be the game.
And especially after the Dolphins, you know, lose their Pro Bowler running back, then, you know, the Raiders are having
Raiders
the season that they
win,
are.
Man.
Totally.
I mean, with their quarterback, they are still, you know, stinking it up.
Sam's giving me the eye, guys. We got to go to commercial.
Yeah, we'll come back and get the next game after the break, Chris.
CBS Sports Radio, 6:50 a.m. Houston, you're listening to the Sports King Saturday Show with Chris, Diamond Dave, Mean Gene, Super Mario, and Seductive Sam. We'll be back after these messages. CBS Sports Radio, 6:50 a.m. Houston, Texas. You're back with the Sports King Saturday Show. Mario, please stop talking. My name is Chris, Diamond Dave, Super Mario, Mean Gene, and Seductive Sam here. You're joining us the Sports King Saturday Show here, 6:50 a.m. I keep saying the name. But, guys, Gene, you had some more football action talking to him.
Yeah, right now I'm just jamming to some Parliament. Flashlight. I won't even tell you how old
you should have picked Atomic Dog.
That I could have.
Atomic Dog.
Flashlight is good.
Flashlight's good. Yeah, I like Parliament.
What happened to the lamp that we used to have anyway?
We're no longer.
We don't.
Honestly, there's no need for the lamp.
I mean, I wear sunglasses because the light is like.
I kind of missed the lamp just a little bit. It added a little bit of ambiance, a little bit.
So that's why I thought I would play Flashlight because. Anyway. All right. Hey, one more game, NFL. This is the Monday night game. Prime time.
We watch wrestling on Monday nights. Okay?
Monday Night Raw. That's what you're going to be watching? I'm going to be watching the Lions and the Packers, okay? And the Lions haven't won in Wisconsin in ages.
Wisconsin?
And this is going to be
in Wisconsin.
Chance.
Jesus, geez.
So now, you know, there's this one quarterback that used to play with the Packers. Actually, he's still on the roster. He's just hurt. And his name is Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is out.
I got you his dog.
Brett Hundley is in. So,
Hundley.
What are we trying to say here is that the Packers will still win this game, you think? I don't think so. I think Matthew Stafford, especially the way the Pittsburgh Steelers shut that offense down last week.
That's true, too.
I mean, they could not score at all. They didn't score, actually, right? Defensively. I mean, offensively.
No, they didn't score.
Touchdown-wise. And you're not going to have two games by Matthew Stafford where he doesn't put points on the board.
I definitely think it'll be a watchable game, too, because he's definitely going to try to, you know, get back into that old style of playing. Because, man, it kind of sucks to see him kind of come off so flat this year because you kind of expect him to do well. But, I mean, we kind of know that the Lions had their own complications during the season and how Calvin Johnson left and how that's kind of lingering around, too. Like, I hate the fact that we got to talk about extra stuff whenever we go into games because a lot of that still weighs in, though. Just as much. But also, when you mention the Packers, I mean, everyone else is still having a pretty good season, but having a new quarterback, that can alter everything right there. But if he's trying to get back online and the Lions are trying to, you know, get back into it, this is a perfect game for them to go into Lambeau and get that win to kind of, you know, generate their season a little bit, you know, try to get some energy going.
Well, I mean, I'm looking at the NFC North standings, and to be honest with you, I mean, the Vikings 6-2, they are out there in front of this thing. The Packers 4-3, the Lions are still there. So there's a lot of games left to be played in that division. The Lions are coming in there at 3-4. They have lost three in a row. I don't think they lose that fourth game. I think they take care of the Packers. As a matter of fact, they beat the Packers. They tied for second place. So, and I don't know what's going to happen with the Vikings. I'm just impressed with the Vikings, Mario, that they are getting it done with Casey Keenum.
It makes me feel good. I'm happy for Keenum, bro.
Yes.
You know, he's so deserving, especially after what we did to the boy, after we brought him out of a deer blind, you know what I mean? Coming here, lead us to the chip, he gets us to where we need to go, and then, you know, we don't even re-sign him. It's just like, all right, okay, thank you for your service. Have a great day. Bye.
Things
you
happen, know? Man,
and it's
for
just
a reason.
Like,
that's
wow.
You...
But like you said, karma, you know what I mean? Yeah, look karma. What happened. Another team, right. Bradford went down. They were like, you know what, we need to get somebody. Who else? Keenum. Keenum
next
came in, man. You know, he's not, you know, he's not going to take it to the chip, but he's, you know, you won't win it with him, but he'll get you.
I don't know how they're getting wins in Minnesota, but they are.
That defense is stout. That's a stout defense. Defense wins games. That's just what it is.
But also, you got to think about what Keenum used to do whenever, you know, he did have the keys to the car whenever he was at U of H. I mean, you know, remember all the yards that he put up. So, of course, he's very capable of making these passes. But, of course, that's what they want. Because, honestly, in the NFL, having a passer who is consistent and just able to get the ball out of his hands, that's a lot that you look for. And he's able to do both of those. And, yeah, he's not the biggest guy. But, like I said, I mean, they made the offense, you know, simple enough for him to run. And also, he can throw.
Yeah. Good coaches there, too, with, you know, Mike Zimmer and all there. So, anyway, that's the NFL, guys.
I mean, we have some college football. Some Forrest Gump football.
you know what? Whenever I used to think of Alabama, that was always the first thing I ever thought about.
Who's like, okay, so Forrest Gump's Alabama, so who would LSU be? What famous, you know, what comes to mind?
What comes to mind, LSU? Well, I guess what
Doug Dynasty?
Comes,
Doug Dynasty?
You know what? Actually, yeah, definitely, yeah. Because, I mean, whenever they do the game days over there, they always have something Doug Dynasty to go pick the games and stuff like that.
So Swamp People.
Definitely.
What?
Swamp People. That's another show. You know, it's pretty good, though.
Mario, get out.
Nah, they're all LSU fans.
I know, but
Mark,
get out. I like Doug Dynasty.
You kicking them
out? Did they kind of fall off though a little bit? Because right, I have not Doug heard Dynasty of Doug Dynasty.
Well, because of what Phil Robertson said, everyone's like,
oh, okay.
I'd rather watch Swamp People than Doug Dynasty any day of the week.
Oh my God, get out, Mario.
Doug Dynasty is stupid.
Mario, get out.
Every time I watch that show, I swear my IQ drops.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Doug Dynasty people, if you're listening right now, attack Mario.
It's Mario.
Come at me, bro.
Send Ducks his way.
Come at me, bro. I'll eat him.
So yeah, Doug Dynasty versus Forrest Gump. Who you got? Well, obviously, who you got, Mario, for Alabama LSU?
I can't stand Alabama, so I'm gonna have to ride with LSU.
Me,
but there's definitely reasons, though.
Who? You know what? I'm going to go with LSU. I need somebody to beat Alabama. I mean, Alabama has been having their way with everybody.
It'll honestly just make the whole playoffs a little bit better if they were to come up with a loss. But also, it's not a clear path for Georgia as well, too. Because regardless if Georgia wins it today and they end up winning out for the rest of the season, yeah, they kind of deserve that number one. But until they go to the SEC championship and win that game, that's going to be a whole nother thing. Look at the top playoff four, because the rankings finally came out.
Right.
And when you look at them, yeah, Georgia's number one, but Alabama's number two. So let's say Alabama does get this win and also win out. How much are you going to take away from Georgia or Alabama when they lose late in the season in that conference?
Teams,
so does this be one and two, like regardless of who wins?
Right. We know that
you
those
guys totally
two teams are going to be there. Georgia and Alabama is going to be there, right?
Yep.
We know. One of them is going to be unbeaten. The other one's going to be one loss, right?
We
already know that.
Do you think Georgia's going to win the SEC title, or they're going to lose in the SEC title?
One more time.
Do you think that Georgia's going to, being the number one seed, finishing the year, will they win out?
I don't think so. Because
I think Alabama's going to get them there.
Alabama. Because, I mean, Georgia is really good, too, on both sides. But they still show little times whenever they're not really capable. That's just because, you beat Notre Dame in the beginning of the year. And I do give you that, because Notre Dame's, look at them where they're at right now.
Right now, yeah.
And that's why I think these guys set them up. They already know this is going to get to Nick Saban, and don't give Nick Saban any reason to pump himself up or his team. They know that Georgia Alabama game is coming up for the SEC championship.
Yep.
And I know Georgia's going to remain unbeaten until that day. And I think they beat LSU tonight, by the way.
Yeah, no, of course. And you know what? That's the logical sense. But,
right.
But the way LSU is built now, you have Matt Canada, the offensive coordinator, and he throws in the little, you know, shifts on the line and stuff like that, trying to throw it off. But, I mean, the fact that last year. Like, look at the past couple years. I mean, still, regardless, you had Leonard Fournette. But at the same time, if you load an 8-8 against the box, you already know what the outcome is, you know, going to be because you're playing Alabama. So doing that, switching up a little bit, I just think it gives them a chance, and we might be able to see a different LSU team. Well, on defense, they got a lot better, too.
You might see a better game. I mean, even the game we're watching now, the Georgia-South Carolina game, I mean, this is not a blowout by, you know.
I can't believe South Carolina do so bad.
But, I mean, they're actually playing. This is good if you're South Carolina to be hanging in there against the number one team in the country.
And this is what makes Georgia good is that they're beating up all their opponents because the East isn't that good in the SEC. But like I said, their schedule makes it look a little bit sexier if you have those wins against all these teams. Because Florida already is going down the line already. So that's not really a respectable win. But, I mean, they still got some stuff on their schedule, though.
Primetime CBS. Right?
So I have a quick question because I'm not in the sports loop whatsoever, just sports entertainment. Is it like a trademark? Because I see that Georgia has the Green Bay G, like the G.
It's very similar, but
it's the same G.
It's Georgia's colors, though.
It's a G. It's right. A big G.
I don't think technically speaking, it's supposed to be the same.
Like G. Every time I see the Walgreens logo on the baseball team, I forget which one.
Washington Nationals.
Is that what they call it? Yeah, the Walgreens logo, the big W, that's Walgreens.
Mario,
I'm sorry for going off track.
Did you give us an update on that Oklahoma State-Oklahoma game?
Oh, yes.
It's tied.
It is tied at this point in time.
Is that amazing?
It is 38-38 with 33 seconds left in the second, so there's still a lot of football left.
I checked
in that
the score like at least a minute time? Ago, and it was
22 seconds left in the second quarter. There's still a lot of time left in the
second
game.
Quarter?
Mm-hmm.
38-38?
Mm-hmm.
Are you? Okay.
So it's basically who's defense.
They're working. They're putting in work.
Whose defense is able, you know,
it's a shootout.
Is able to show up.
It's
but honestly, when you have Baker Mayfield and Mason Rudolph, like.
What are you expecting? What else would you expect? Yeah. You know what I mean?
You know, Gundy's rocking that mullet.
Yeah,
really nicely. So I think that always gives them. And it's in Bellum, too. So that gives them so much.
I got to look this up. The mullet is a powerful thing.
The mullet is a powerful thing, especially when you're a coach.
It's a helmet within itself. Bam!
Especially when you're that age, too, because he's a little up there in age. And the fact that you're able to bring back a mullet, like, that's, to me.
What's that guy's name? Joe Dirt?
Joe Dirt. He's a little bit better than Joe. He's more
tame. I said dang.
Definitely more tame. But to see Oklahoma and Oklahoma State going at it like this, it really makes it exciting. It makes the Big 12 look a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly. Because, I mean, we're talking about these two teams, but Iowa State can come around here and mess things up.
Yeah, they can.
Because they're looking like a really good team.
They're playing better football towards the end of the year. That's
believe
a fact.
It or not.
And the fact that they're getting these key wins, though, too. Like, they plug in players. They don't care what position you were or anything
you're
like
right
that. The quarterback went to linebacker. They're just getting wins, and that's really what's most important. But they were able to sneak those teams, man. But they're definitely making the Big 12 look a lot better because ultimately, too, we're looking at the conference title for the ACC, and that can go up anyway.
How do you get 76 points scored in a half?
Because it's college.
But also, you got to look at those offenses.
If you're in Oklahoma, where is it? So you're in Oklahoma.
Well,
when
you're
right,
you're right.
Now.
You're right.
Is this game in Stillwater or is it in Norman? It looks like it's in Stillwater.
It's in Stillwater. So
I mean, this is one hell of a game. 76 points? At the half, this is crazy.
It's kind of like whenever you watch a Texas Tech game or something like that. Yeah. Like it's air
so
raid.
So they're scoring like every other possession.
It's almost every possession, and to see a possession that doesn't go scoreless, and that's the impressive part. Mm, whenever they do
crazy.
Get to stop,
maybe they keep doing 2-point conversions.
But honestly, how do you do that though? Like, because honestly, whenever the SEC switched over, it wasn't really too easy to run the spread in the SEC. I mean, Texas A&M had, you know, a little luck with it, but ultimately, unless you have guys who are just more talented. How do you stop that? Can't throw just like 6 or 7 DBs because, you know, your linebacker core is going to be a little depleted and the line's going to be depleted. So, like, to be able to spread that out, it's a hard thing to defend.
This is going to get Arkansas kicked out of the SEC. They are down to freaking Coastal Carolina, 21-17. How does that happen?
It's the curse, man. And you know what? And whenever you look at Arkansas, they're also
known
for...
Wait, what's their curse?
That... Because they're known for a style, and they're also...
Does someone marry
a
Kardashian?
Because you know what? In LSU, think about how LSU is. Like, yeah, they're always good, but whenever you're trying to muscle up and just play one style, because ultimately that's what got Les Miles out of LSU. Just keep on, by just running up the gut and doing the same thing. Yeah, being stubborn. And then you kind of seen that way with Arkansas. But I think in Arkansas, it's been more of a culture to be like that. Just to beef up your offensive line and just play power football. And, you know, yeah, you can throw it every once in a while. But, you know, that's definitely their core. Whenever that doesn't work, what do you go to?
They lose this game. I guarantee you, he would be fired after the game. I miss
and that's hard to say with him too, because he's been there for and he's been really liked there.
From a Big Ten school, Big 12, no, Big Ten actually. With no, I miss the days when they would fire people like on the spot. You get whipped.
You're
embarrassed.
Fired.
You don't even make it to the locker room. You're fired.
I still kind of feel that some way, just because of that Les Miles firing from last year really hurt me. Of course, I'm a fan, but also. It was also just one possession. So one possession really defied his fate.
Though, man.
But you're right. That's what I'm saying.
He
like,
just wouldn't listen to anybody.
Being that stubborn, that's what it's going to get you. But also, I kind of blame A&M, and I kind of went on this tangent before because, I mean, look at the situation over there. And you can't really expect A&M to do so well is because they're in the hardest division in all of football.
Hey, that is, you know.
But you always have tumbling in the hot seat, though.
The SEC is like the NFL on Saturdays. I mean, the SEC is huge. Hey, what about this game tonight, guys? Texas, TCU. TCU still in the top 10, surprisingly, after losing last week. Any upset maybe for
No, I don't think they are. But you know what? TCU does come with it, and they get that win back. And I think they get a little bit of confidence going into Big 12 a little bit, because you got to remember, they still got to play a championship game in the Big 12. So that's going to be really exciting.
Yeah, but that is going to be exciting.
I don't think Texas pulls it off. I think TCU kind of needs this win to kind of get themselves over the hump a little bit.
Hey, we didn't talk about any Rockets. Rockets have a pretty decent record.
I mentioned it, but Dave's like, nah.
Nah, I was like, no Rockets.
I mean, come on. I mean, the Rockets, hey, you know, the NBA is here whether we're ready for it or not. I mean, what, a 7-3 record to start?
This is going
to
take control. And that's the thing, too, because getting into of course, we have to fit in a lot of football, but at the same time, there's going to be so much basketball, because to me, we're talking about this the other week.
True.
The basketball news doesn't stop. It doesn't. It's full year round now, and we can do whatever we want.
But I mean, just looking at
this.
The first 10 games of the season,
ain't stop.
I would
won't
have to
stop.
Give them a down, good report card down, being 7-10 right now.
Most definitely.
Having a 7-3 record is a pretty good start for a team without Chris Paul.
The things that kind of come out to me, though, when I talk about the Rockets is this. Of course, you're going to nitpick about a lot of things, but to me, it's not using the whole lineup, you know, kind of just going 8 people deep and, you know, kind of putting that wear and tear on a lot of their players so early on.
Well, we haven't mentioned Mario, UFC. What's been going on? I hear there's some really great matches going on today. What's up?
Yeah, man. It's not just one of the greatest matches, but it's actually going to be.
You said that all the time about every match.
It is true, because every time it is, the last couple fights have been really, really good.
You said that about Pacquiao versus the guy from Australia. Pacquiao
fight. That was.
Really, I remember
good
that
fight.
Guy.
That was Joe Horn. You know that guy.
What was that guy you were talking about?
Joe Horn.
No, Dave. He's the he's a boxer. He's not a fighter. He's a boxer. Everyone was telling me to watch that show, and nothing happened.
Don't know what you're talking about whatsoever.
What are you talking about, Chris?
Completely lost, sir.
What are you talking about?
It's okay. All right.
It's a fight.
Anyway, we're talking about UFC 217 for all the fight fans out there. And for this one, you know, it's not just any type of fight card, guys. You have one of the most a legend come back. You know what I mean? A bona fide Hall of Famer. In George St. Pierre, you know, Rush GSP, who's been on a layoff for 4 years since he's been in the octagon. And, you know, to think about your first fight coming back, it's not only just, you know, just not just any warm-up match, you know what I mean, against some guy that's going to give you work usually, you know what I mean, try to see where you at, try to get the ring rust off, you know, quote-unquote. No, not just anybody, but the one and only, the champion, Michael the Count Bisping.
Would he be considered like a grandpa, maybe, because he's old?
Not a grandpa, you know what I mean?
No, like, I mean in the sense of like, you know.
Yeah, I guess in the fight
in the industry,
game,
yeah.
Yeah, he would be considered more of a, you know, a older head. You know what I mean? One of the forefathers and the setters of, you know, that really made UFC popular. Yeah. You know what I mean? And he just happens to be a really great fighter. You know, you got Michael Bisping once again defending his title against George Rush St. Pierre in his first fight back. First time he's ever fighting at this weight class, George St. Pierre.
See, yeah, he's been off for a while, right?
4 years. concerned. Four years hasn't been in the octagon.
Is the fight big because of these two, or is it big because it's at the madhouse?
Well, of course, it's. I think for both. You know what I mean? Everybody wanted to know when GSP was going to come back, You know, because his last outing, you know, he wasn't really sure. You can tell he wasn't at peace with what happened, and you know, he went back to training, and he's been back, and so what? I need to know if I still got it, you know, and why not come back and go against the champ?
Boom! He's gonna get knocked out first round.
I hope not, you know, but it plays, you know, styles make fights.
He's gonna get two-pieced.
This is Michael Bisping got some hands on him, so you know he can catch his hands outside.
I mean, he's been, you know, doing the Balrog the Leaper training for a while, I'm pretty sure. So. And it gave him more reason to get back in the ring.
Who you got, Mario?
You know, I'm so torn between. I've watched Michael the Count Bisping since he was on the Ultimate Fighter. You know what I mean? He's one of the people who actually won Ultimate Fighter and become a champion.
That was a good game.
And so I love Michael Bisping. I love British fighters. They love to fight. It's their thing.
Bisping took out
strong
Anderson
style,
Silver, didn't he?
Say again.
Didn't he take out Anderson Silva?
Bisping fought against Anderson Silva, but
he didn't beat him.
No, he didn't.
Okay.
And I want Joe St. Pierre to win this fight. But it's not only about that fight. You have Cody Garbrandt defending his title against TJ Dillashaw for the UFC Bantamweight Champion. This is a grudge match. You know what I mean? This is an in-house rivalry because TJ Dillashaw used to train out of Alpha Male, which is where Kobe Bryant comes from. And, you know, he left that team to go train with Dwayne Ludwig, and it was a whole big thing between those two camps. So this is personal. You know, this is more than just any other fight. This is personal.
And it's personal.
And not only is it personal, it's for the title. So you got to love bad intentions, you know?
I like the fact that it's at Madison Square Garden, the main fight, the UFC 217.
Yeah.
You ever been to Madison Square Garden?
Of course, I've been to Madison Square Garden.
It's one of the most remarkable places in the world.
Which is rubber anyone.
Right, yeah, it's the Mecca. It's the greatest place.
It is a great place to watch any kind of sport.
I've seen St. John's play there.
I've seen the Rangers play there. The Knicks.
You know what I mean? I've seen the Knicks games there.
Good stuff.
So have you seen wrestling?
I've seen plays there. I've never got to see wrestling there.
And another school I watched there. It was a four-game college basketball tournament. Farley Dickinson? Yeah, Farley Dickinson. That's a school. That's
upstate.
Upstate, yeah.
Yes, okay. Yep. The Manhattan Jaspers
upstate
played there.
Upstate, New York.
The Manhattan Jaspers played there, too. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah,
really good
stuff.
Teams there. So, as well as you have Joanna Jardinski defending her women's strawweight championship.
She's going after Rousey's record, right?
Yes, she is. She's actually on her sixth title defense at this point in time.
Oh, wow.
She is the baddest woman at this point.
And she's on the undercard. Is it the fight before the main?
Rousey was first.
Rousey was the trendsetter, but Joanna's in a whole different league of her own. You know what I mean? And just before we go, some quick little tidbits about this main event, guys, about the champ and the challenger. Bisping has 16 wins by knockout, 4 wins by submission. That's going to play contact because
I call them beatdowns. They're not knockouts. They're beatdowns, man.
Bisping has landed over 1,533 significant strikes. Okay, that's the most in UFC history.
That's a lot of strikes.
That's a lot of strikes, sir. And Bisping, not only he has a 5-fight winning streak dating to April 2015, so the man hasn't lost in 5 fights defending his title. But George St. Pierre has 8 wins by knockout and 5 wins by submission, so it shows that he's even and deadly either on the ground or standing. As well, he has a 73% significant strike defense, which is second all time. You know what I mean? So meaning he throws punches, but he's not getting hit at the same time. So has a really good solid defense. And his 73.7% takedown accuracy is also second all time. Meaning it's not hard.
Is that technical with this stuff?
The analytics went into the UFC, I see.
Because this is going to come down to technicalities.
Okay.
This is what this fight is going to come down to.
Analytics.
Yes, it is. And I think for George St. Pierre, for him, I think coming back after 4 years of ring rust, I think for him, he would want to try to get it to the ground. You know what I mean? Try to ground and pound more. Try to make those rounds go a little slower to see if he can bear his bearing. Because I don't honestly think he can match Bisping on the ground right now. I mean, on his feet with the hands at this point in time, Bisping being so hot coming off these 5 fights.
Oh, wow.
So when they get...
So when is Brock Lesnar coming back?
When they break these fights down at the end of a fight, mm-hmm. how do they do it in boxing? Because, you know, in the NFL, any other sport, you know, you can watch the film of what happened.
Yeah.
When boxers get their ass whipped, what do they watch the fight again?
It's the same thing.
And you break it down.
Yeah, you go back into the, you know, you go back to the drawing board. You get, you know, you break
and,
down.
And
you
this is what
down.
Happened.
Yeah, and you
Should
sit down with your coach.
Ronnie
you sit down
Shields
with your trainer.
We had him on that time.
Yep. You sit down with your trainer.
And this is what happened.
And you look the film and, you know, you watch it basically. No noise first. You know, no commentary.
So you can add it and see it yourself. And, then with commentary, see what they want to say. And then you go at it again. And, you know, you pick and choose in this spot.
What's the payout for this? Any, you know, the monies?
At this point in time, I do not know what the payout is going to be. But, you know, it has to be pretty big, especially to bring back GSP. Because he wouldn't come back just for any fight. He could have come back 2 years ago. You know what I mean? But to come bait him out to fight to see if he still wanted it. One, it was for a big payday. And two, it's because it's against the champion.
So here's the thing, guys. I need some movers. You guys going to help me move? What would be nice if all of you guys come help me move from Dallas?
Like go up to Dallas?
Is this how you get us? You ask us on air so we can't say no?
I'll be the heel.
Right
no.
Now. I mean, just, hey, come on. Moving sucks. You know that, right?
Hey, what day is that?
It's on November 17th.
About the 17th.
This week is Veterans Day. Friday, well, Saturday, but it's celebrated on Friday. And as a veteran, you know, I go and I eat for free. I will start eating at Golden Corral that morning, and I'll probably finish
a Luby's? At,
yeah, wherever it is, free.
They give you a free bowl of soup and
no,
take it out.
They give you free everything.
They give you a free hat,
entire
too.
Entire day, right? Everything. Chris, you want to come along with me?
What happened?
I can get you in. I can tell them you serve somewhere.
I served in the what do they call the
served in the Lord's army.
What do they call the food in the army?
The canteen.
The chow. I served in chow line.
The chow.
I was on the line in the chow line. That was me.
He was in the chow line.
I took that mashed potatoes.
So tomorrow we watch Texans and. The Texans and the Colts?
Maybe.
I mean, Texans are going to win, I think.
I'm not going to.
I'm probably not going to watch the game. I'll probably watch Raw.
We have to get over Deshaun Watson.
Sunday.
You just can't abandon the team because the quarterback is not playing.
But ain't it crazy the fact that we kind of contemplate that, though? Like, just the fact of the state of the Texans as of right now, like, that comes across your mind?
No, man, this team is still competitive. They still have a chance to win the division.
The defense is going to have to pick up a lot of that slack. You know what I mean? That defense is going to have to score in order for this.
Astros just won the Super World Series. I don't think nothing's going to happen in Texas. Not for a while.
Yeah, that's all of our winningness right there.
Did you guys dress up at what? Any Halloween characters?
We talked about this last time. I was a fat Power Ranger.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
I was dead.
You saw what Jadeveon Clowney dressed up as.
Right? Yeah. You know what? Like, how are you going to find a costume that big, though? Like, honestly.
You know what he dressed up as, right?
No, I didn't know what he dressed up as.
He dressed up as a prisoner.
Oh, yes, in the asylum. Yes.
But, an inmate.
Yes, he
or
did.
Or however you want to
like
call
Arkham
it.
Asylum?
Yeah, no.
Oh.
Well, I mean, what else could he have been?
I really like Stephen Curry's Penny...
LeBron James dressed up as
Pennywise.
They were all
that was
horror.
That was really eerie.
That was eerie, but
that was pretty predictable.
Jigsaw. I like Stephen Curry's Jigsaw.
That was pretty predictable.
That was really.
That was
cool.
A really big trike.
That was a really big trike. Where he found that, I would like.
I kind of want that trike.
That trike is pretty awesome.
Yeah,
but that was really cool.
And
too.
I gotta give me one of them shirts, Mario.
Oh, yeah. The shirt's pretty awesome, ain't it?
Yeah, I gotta.
They're like $5 with a bowl of soup.
I got it from HEB.
At Luby's.
Do you want to get a bowl of soup after the show, Chris?
Feels like Texas, right. Tastes like whatever. Luby's, if you want to sponsor us, we would love for you.
Yeah, come bring.
I've only
heat.
Been to Luby's one time in my life.
But guys, it's that time again for us to ride into the sunset. Thank you so much for joining us, the Sports King Saturday Show here on CBS Sports Radio 650. Chris, Mean Gene, Diamond Dave, Seductive Sam, and Mario. Mario, take us out. You got the wheel.
Guys, you know who you're listening to. Chris over here. Mean Gene, the sports machine. Diamond Dave. Sam's on the ones and two who's cheering in. It's okay. She's a Steeler fan. But it's all right. We'll let it be. You're listening to Mario. Sports King Saturdays, 6:50 a.m. Houston. Check us out, man.